31-year-old PC Sarah Fraser is a serving officer from Bedfordshire Police. She was punched in the face while arresting a burglar. She's been left with a metal plate in her face and permanent scarring and is now considering leaving the force. 42-year-old PC Matt Stringer is from South Yorkshire Police. He was seriously injured in 2006 while arresting a violent offender and was off work for 11 months. He's now classed as disabled as a result of that attack, but returned to work as a frontline officer. And 34-year-old PC Matthew Evans from West Midlands Police was punched in the face last week after spotting an offender he'd been looking for some time whilst off duty. The man is thought to be part of a gypsy mafia group and has made threats to Matthew's life once he is released from prison. Welcome to the programme, all of you. Sarah Fraser, let me start with you. Tell us what happened on the day you were assaulted.
It'll be 2 years ago in August. I got called to a report of a burglary and I was on my own. The allegation was that the gentleman had broken into the house and was trying to steal the copper piping from inside. When I got there, the owner of the house came out and pointed to a man up the road and said that he'd committed the burglary. So I drove up the road. The gentleman came up to the car. He kicked my car door. I got out and tried to arrest him. Because of how aggressive he was, I tried to use my CS spray and unfortunately it didn't work. I felt the only thing that I could do was to run at him, grab hold of him, try and tackle him to the ground. There was members of the public outside now watching and there's obviously an expectation there that you're going to do something. So I run at him, the burglar ran at me and punched me straight in the face, knocked me out and run off, and he was caught later on by a dog unit.
And what injuries did you receive?
I received a broken eye socket, broken nose and broken cheekbone.
How long were you off work for in the end?
I was off work for about 9 months in total.
And you still have pain from those injuries now, do you?
Every day, yes.
What happened to the offender?
We had to go to trial. He pleaded not guilty all the way, but he got 6.5 years in prison and he's still in prison now.
Would it be normal for you to go out to one of these incidents on your own?
Yes.
So that's the deal. You don't necessarily go in pairs always?
No, you can't. There's not enough police officers to go in pairs anymore.
Right. Would it have made any difference if you'd had a colleague with you sitting in the passenger seat of your car?
I think so, yes.
Why?
I do, yeah. Because then you've got a ratio of two police officers on one person and the chances are increased that you're going to be able to restrain that person successfully and safely.
Has what happened to you changed the way you think about your job?
Yes, it has. I don't feel safe anymore. I go to work every day and I'm constantly nervous about it. And eventually I think I will leave as a result of this.
So you're considering leaving at the moment?
I am, yes.
So what will make up your mind for you?
I don't really know. I think I need to still take each day as it comes at the moment before I make a full decision. I love my job. I'm very passionate about it. But I just, because of the numbers, because I don't feel safe, I feel that eventually it will just come to a point where something else will happen. Not quite in the same, but something else will happen that will trigger off that decision for me.
How long have you felt unsafe for?
I think there's always been an element of feeling the sort of the nerves, the adrenaline of a confrontational situation that will make you feel unsafe. But I think since I've come back on patrol sort of a year and a half ago, it's increased that massively.
Mm. Clearly, it's part of the nature of the job, though, isn't it? This potential threat of you being assaulted.
It shouldn't be, but it is. It's just the way that things are now. Yeah.
Right. But you, when you were training, you were trained to deal with scenarios like the one you encountered.
You're trained to deal with people that will be volatile towards you, and we do understand that. But there's a line, I think, and to directly want to injure an officer, it's just I can't get my head round it at all, and I don't think that we should have to put up with that.
Had the CS spray worked, would you have avoided being assaulted?
I don't know. That's a speculation and making an assumption there, really. I'd like to think it would have helped me and potentially confused him enough to be able to tackle him to the ground, but we'll never know.
Matt Stringer, hello to you. Welcome.
Hi.
To the programme. I think you were carrying out a general vehicle stop when the driver became pretty aggressive verbally. What happened after that?
It was actually the passenger.
The
driver was being dealt with by my colleague. High approached the passenger, who'd become quite volatile, and he tried to intervene and stop my colleague dealing with the other chap. During this point, he became confrontational and aggressive, and a struggle ensued. And unfortunately, we both ended up on the floor, during which I obviously suffered quite a serious injury to my right knee.
And what happened?
As we landed on the floor, I immediately felt my kneecap dislocate, and there was some incredible pain in my right knee. I struggled to be able to stand. At that point, I realised my foot had actually twisted fully round. Having detained the guy, managed to handcuff him, I then stood to my feet with the chap and realised that I'd done quite a serious injury. And that consisted of a dislocated kneecap, a fractured kneecap and torn cruciate ligaments.
And how difficult was it to get yourself back to fitness and returning to frontline police work?
It was a constant uphill struggle. 11 months off work was quite daunting. During that period, you go through various issues and aspects where you're left in isolation, and it's quite an anxious time. Fitness levels, it's very difficult to maintain fitness when you've got damage to your knees in respect to cardiovascular training. So I did initially struggle, and it has taken some time to be able to get a certain level of fitness where I can actually go out and do effective frontline duties.
I think 3 years after that, you suffered a similar injury to the same knee when you had to break up a fight at a wedding.
That's right. I'd attended actually a 40th birthday party, and a wedding was taking place in a hall at the side. A fight started outside, and as all police officers, were on duty 24 hours a day, and I've got a duty to react. Managed to split the fight up, unfortunately. One of the guys decided that I was going to be the focus of his attention. A struggle ensued again, and we ended up on the floor, and I had a similar injury again to my right knee. And I'm sure you can imagine the thoughts that were going through my mind at that time.
Well, you're now a frontline officer carrying a disability, so how does this affect the way you do your job?
I have to constantly self-manage incidents, my involvement. I'm constantly risk assessing what I get involved in. I have uphill struggles, on a battle on a daily basis with pain. There's days where everything's fine, and then there's days where it can be unmanageable. Mm. Those days I have to sit in the office, unfortunately, and withdraw from frontline activity.
And did you accept when you joined the force that it was a possibility you may get injured in the line of duty?
I fully expected that I'd be involved in confrontations, and unfortunately injuries do result of confrontations. What I didn't fully accept on joining was the level of injury and threat that we have to openly experience as police officers on front line.
Mm. And Sarah talked about the fact that she was on her own, and that she, more and more she has to go out to incidents on her own. You were with a colleague, and it still made no difference.
Yes, unfortunately, we do encounter people that, regardless of how many police officers are in front of them, they will want confrontation and are willing to fight with officers.
PC Matthew Evans, good morning. Thank you for coming on the programme. Before we get to the worst injury you've had in the line of duty, in the past, tell us about some of the violence you've encountered.
Thinking about the most significant ones over my career, I've been headbutted, punched, bitten. Quite a lot of this as a result of, in Birmingham City Centre, which is where I work, a lot of the nightclubs and bars are all contained within a very small period of, sort of small space. And when kicking out time comes, you've then got many thousands of intoxicated people, and some of which unfortunately think that the perfect way to round off a night is by either fighting other people or fighting the police.
And how long have you been in the West Midlands Force?
14 years.
Do you think it's got worse over that time, or has it been a common, regular theme?
From my own experience, it's been I haven't seen any massively significant changes, but what I've seen is the attitude towards assaults on police officers amongst some people, and unfortunately sometimes the courts.
Well, let's talk about the attitude first of all. What do you mean?
That As a police officer, being assaulted is an occupational hazard and should be, you know, you should accept that it's going to happen to you. Whereas, very much like what Matt was saying is, you know, you do sort of, you do expect that this is going to happen because, you know, it's a physical job. Sometimes people don't want to come with you. But you would still quite like there to be that that support from, you know, members of the public thinking, oh, that, you know, that's not on. And certainly where the courts are concerned, you'd like to think that if somebody did assault a police officer, they would receive a suitable punishment for it.
Has that not happened in some of the cases when you've been assaulted?
On some of the occasions, it's been fair, and you have to take every situation as it comes. Sometimes when people are drunk, they're a completely different person to when they're sober, and you know that you can see that they're generally shocked and remorseful about what they've done when they've been intoxicated. But then other times you do get people with the attitude of, well, you are a police officer, what did you expect?
Can I ask all of you about your own morale at the moment? The police have been under a lot of criticism for all sorts of reasons in the past year and a half. Hillsborough, the behaviour of some undercover officers, corruption and so on. Do you think that changes the way people, members of the public, taxpayers, approach you, feel about you?
Well, I've not experienced anybody saying anything like that outright to me, but perhaps, you know, being a police officer, I've seen the increased number of articles that are out there, and I feel the members of the public must have their attitudes changed towards us, and because we are unfortunately seen as, you know, as a collective as opposed to individual people. So if they hear about somebody down in London being corrupt, even if they are a chief constable, they think, oh, you know, maybe the rest of the guys are like that.
What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's the same with anything, though, isn't it? You're always going to get corrupt people in every occupation. But unfortunately, a lot of members of the public do tar us with the same brush and think we're all going to be like that, absolutely.
Have you had abuse as a result of the coverage of various issues to do with the police?
Yeah, you'll get certain members of the public will use it as an excuse to have a go at you, I think.
What sort of things do people say?
That you're all aggressive, you're all the same. Just that kind of general, it just seems to be an excuse to have a bit of a pop at a police officer. We seem to be targeted by certain individuals out there, unfortunately.
Matt Stringer, what's your own experience?
I think the major issue is that, bad publicity, it tends to be incidents of quite a serious nature. It does affect police officers' morale in a way, in the fact that, you know, we're not all personally responsible for incidents that have occurred historically in the police service. Unfortunately, that does have give us a view as officers to the general public. We remain approachable. We're here to do a job. We're here to help and assist people. And as a result of that, we're constantly open to speaking with members of the public. I've not personally had any issues where people have approached and given me anything in respect of bad press issues.
Right. We've got some Freedom of Information figures that show a fall in the number of assaults on officers for many police forces. Sarah, in your force in Bedfordshire, between 2011 and 12, there were 85 assaults. The following year, it's gone down to 76. Matt, in South Yorkshire, the figures were 79 assaulted in 2011-12. 66 the following year.
Yeah.
And in the West Midlands, 394 assaults in 2011-12, down to 204 in 2012-13.
It's difficult because when you look at the recorded assaults, probably a lot of officers are getting injuries whilst on duty and they're not getting recorded as assaults. People are just putting up with it as part of the daily duties.
Have all of you done that? Have you been assaulted and not recorded it?
Personally, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, if you don't record it, then they're not going to be. They won't show up in the figures.
It's one of those things where you have to work out: is it a minor incident that can be dealt with and brushed to one side for the ease of process? Unfortunately, I've been injured a number of times whilst on duty, and a lot of those times it may have been minor injuries, cuts, bruises. From kicks and punches, etc., that have gone unreported. It's just formed part of the initial report of, like, Section 5s or Section 4 public order offences.
So you mean because the paperwork takes up a reasonable amount of time, is this what you're saying? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that the reason?
No. It's the recording process or what you would put it down as a Section 4 public order, people using violence. That is all encompassing and would, certainly from an officer's perspective, a lot of times incorporate those officers potentially being injured as well.
Sarah, have you done that as well, not recorded an incident because you've decided, look, it's reasonably minor and actually the recording process is not worth it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been sort of pushed and stuff before, which technically is an assault on a police officer, but it just doesn't seem to be worth going through that process for something so minor.
Mm. And Matt and Matthew, Sarah talked about potentially, because of what's happened to her, at some point leaving the police. Would any of you consider that?
I did consider it initially when I was involved in the incident in 2006, but it was a very difficult time for myself as an officer. Being in an isolated position and in a position where I was obviously having difficulty walking around and getting from A to B, if it wasn't for the benefits of me having an extremely good supervisor at that time, I think I would have probably left. My supervisor at that time kept me grounded and made sure that I kept in touch with the force and kept up to date with changes in the force, etc.
And I think, Matt, you've become a mentor for other police officers who have long-term injuries as a result of what's happened to you. How does that help them?
I think, for me, certainly looking at a mentor role, I know exactly where people have been and what they're going through. I can see full well the uphill struggle that people are facing through being off through long-term injuries. Certainly the fear of coming back to work, the fear of being involved in basic incidents and really assessing their own abilities. Are they still able to continue to do the frontline role?
Mm-hmm. And Matthew Evans, how do you see your future?
None of the injuries that I've received, I mean, I had a very similar injury to what Matt's described, whereby as a result of arresting somebody, I've gone over and snapped my cruciate ligament. There was a couple of complications whereby I ended up having to have an operation on both legs. But I was very lucky that everything healed quite well. And I think my attitude would change if I received a more, what I would consider a more serious injury, like the likes of which Sarah and Matt have described, whereby their injuries have been quite serious. I've been assaulted on a number of occasions, but I've been very lucky in the sense that I've always been able to bounce back. And I've always considered myself, as soon as I started being a police officer, I realised that this was the job for me. It's not about the money, it's not about prestige or anything like that. It's a good job and I enjoy doing it. And it would take something very significant hopefully, for my life view to change on that.
Thank you all very much. Thank you for coming on the programme. PC Matthew Evans from West Midlands Force, PC Matt Stringer from South Yorkshire Police and PC Sarah Fraser from Bedfordshire Police.